Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12. Sow to yourselves in righteousness. Reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Amen. I'm going to talk to us today about birthing spiritual things. Birthing spiritual things. Some of the most miserable people in the world are expectant mothers who are overdue. I'm not saying that by experience, I just have heard, okay? Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. The due date has passed. They're ready to be delivered. They're miserable. And the only thing that's going to help them is for that baby to be born. No doubt in this place today, there are dreams and visions from God, callings and anointings, burdens, things that have been spoken into our spirits direct from the Spirit of God about the future and about our family and about our church. And some of those things are now past due. And now is the time. This is the day. And this is the hour to birth the spiritual things that the church has been pregnant with. Hallelujah. I don't feel this is just by accident, but I feel like somebody's here today under the sound of my voice. And there's been some things that God has put into your spirit, some things that have been conceived in you. And God said, I'm going to perform it. But we also have a job to do. We have to birth some things in the spirit. So we're going to talk about that today. Amen. God, help us. I pray that you'd help us here today. Speak to our hearts. Give us strength, Lord, to do what's required to see these things come to pass. I pray, God, that you'd help me, give me strength and your anointing. We give you praise right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to somebody and say, it's time to have some babies. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You may be seated. Some of you thought, no. It's that time's past. Well, we're not talking about natural. We're talking about the spiritual. Our text said, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it's time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Whenever there's a harvest, it means that sometime in the past, in some way, in some fashion, there were some seeds sown. There were some seeds that were sown. Unfortunately, in this scripture we read today, Israel had been sowing seeds of sin, which would bring the judgment of God. But God said if they would sow seeds of righteousness, that they would reap in mercy. Let us be reminded today that through our actions and our decisions, through the life that we are living each and every day, we are sowing something. We are sowing some kind of seed. And there will be a harvest. There will be a harvest. The law of the harvest says we reap what we sow. Okay? Sometimes people just They sow the seeds of sin for years and for years. And then it may be seeds of rebellion or seeds of lust or seeds of hatred, seeds of cursing or gossip. And then after sowing all of those seeds of sin for such a long time, they want to immediately reap in mercy after sowing righteousness for one day. Let me encourage somebody today. Stick with it. Keep sowing in righteousness. Keep on sowing faithfulness. devotion, commitment to God. Keep denying your flesh. Keep sowing in righteousness, because there will be a harvest of mercy in due time. You may not see it overnight, but if you keep sowing the right seeds, there's going to be a harvest. Hallelujah. We're all sowing something. What crop is it that we are going to be producing? What fruit is growing from our life? What will grow up from the seeds that we planted today or this past week or the last month or year? Be faithful. Just keep sowing in righteousness. Don't give up. Don't get discouraged. There will be a reward. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Hallelujah. The enemy wants to come and he wants to discourage you and wants you to think, well, I've been sowing the seeds of righteousness and I haven't seen the harvest yet and I haven't seen the miracle come to pass and the promises that God has given me, it seems like they're dormant. You just keep on living for God. You keep on pushing for revival. You keep on believing God for the miracle. In due season, we will be rewarded. Don't be weary in doing good, but at the right time and in due season, there will be a harvest that comes. There will be an answer from the Lord. Hallelujah. Hosea says, he says, break up your fallow ground. God builds on this picture of sowing and reaping by telling Israel that there's some things that they need to have broken up. In order for there to be a harvest, there first must be brokenness. What is fallow ground? Fallow ground is ground that has not been planted or plowed for more than a year. It's ground that's hard. It's stubborn. It's resistant to the seed. It does little good to sow seed on fallow ground because it can't find root. It's hardened and it has to be broken up. First, why is it that sometimes people are never moved by the preaching of the Word of God? The Spirit of God can be moving in a service, maybe a service like this, and there's such a burden and there's such a move of conviction and it's drawing us closer to Him and calling us to leave where we are in order to go up higher and to be more like Jesus. And yet some people, sometimes they're totally unmoved by what's happening in the spirit. It's because the seed is falling on fallow ground. Hearts that have been hardened. They're not receptive to the Word of God. The hardness of the heart won't allow the seed of God's Word to penetrate and become fruitful. Here's the thing. Fallow ground is hard, and it doesn't want to be broken up. It's firm. It's compact. The blade of the plow, it hurts. It, as it cuts through, it hurts. If the fallow ground was able to talk, it would probably cry out with pain when it's being plowed. And if given the choice, fallow ground would remain as it is because the process of breaking it up is painful. But the ground is useless as long as it stays fallow. As long as it cannot receive the planting of the seed, there will be no fruit. And if it's been a while since we've been moved by the Spirit of God, if we can't remember the last time we wept before the Lord, if it's been too long since we've had a spiritual breakthrough, our heart, it may be being hardened to where it's not even something we do consciously, but simply because of the hardness that's there, we resist what God wants to do. We're unmoved by His presence, and His Word doesn't have the effect on us like it should. And maybe, Maybe when the preaching of the word goes forth, it's painful to us. They used to say, boy, the pastor stepped on my toes. The word hit home, and it was painful to hear. The plowing of God's word, it can cut hard, and we want to resist that. We don't want the fallow ground of our heart to be broken up, but God's trying to produce something in us. Oh, it would be better if we would just yield. If we'd yield to the Spirit of God and the Word of God, and instead of resisting, we need to be assisting the Spirit of God and seeking the Lord and praying for His will in our life and asking that He'd make us more like Him. God, my life is yours. You do with me what you want to. You work on me. You move on me. Make me more like you. Hosea said, it's time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. It's time. I feel like the time is now. The things that God has in store, they're ready. They're waiting on us. The season is passing. If the seed is not put into the ground, the field won't produce the fruit. Amen. Let God have access to your heart today. Let him move. Let him change us so that we can bring forth the things that he's designed for us. Amen. How many of you you'd receive that today? Lord, break up the hardness of my heart. I submit to your hand. I submit to your purpose, Lord. I want to produce what you've called me to be and to do. Birthing spiritual things has some similarities to birthing in the natural. Now, if we wanted to take the easy way out, we'd tell the story of the stork. To answer the question, where do babies come from? You know, it's a lot easier. People would just talk about this myth of a bird with a long beak and it brings a baby that's wrapped in cloth and delivers it to your front door. And, oh, that's, you know, how nice. But it's just a myth, okay? And if we believe that, we'll be waiting forever to have a baby. Now, in the natural, for a baby to be born, there first has to be intimacy. Regardless of what our crazy culture wants to teach, there has to be intimacy between a father and a mother. And after intimacy comes pregnancy. Pregnancy lasts for a season. In human beings, it's 9 months. Now, sometimes something happens, and if it's shorter than that, the birth is premature. Sometimes in the spiritual that people try to give birth to something and it's premature. It hasn't gone through the developing process. God's still working on us sometimes. And we're not ready to go to the level that we want to get to. But God's saying, I still got you here for a reason. And so sometimes we got to make sure we're not pushing into premature things. Amen. Sometimes young people, you see others that are being used and well, I want to be like them, and I want to preach where they're preaching, and I want to sing like they're singing, and I want to do what they're doing for the kingdom of God. And can you see how they're being used? Well, I'm older than them, but you don't know what they've been through, and you don't know what God has done in their life, and you don't know the trials they've come through, and you don't know the battles they fought. And so sometimes it's better to just say, okay, Lord, I'm going to trust you in this instead of trying to push something before it's time. But normally pregnancy lasts for 9 months, and then after pregnancy comes travail. Travail. It takes travail to bring birth. The process of birthing spiritual things can be related to natural birthing. In order to bring things forth in the spiritual realm, we first have to get intimate with God. Sometimes people have desires and ambitions, and the thing is, though, it's their flesh. It was not the Spirit of God that conceived those things. And when sometimes there's something that when there's something that's been conceived by the Spirit of God, it's not usually something our flesh is excited about. Because it involves sacrifice. It involves sometimes pain. Sometimes it'll take us out of our comfort zone. It'll take work to get where that's calling us to go, and it's going to take self-denial. So a lot of times when it was the Spirit of God that conceived it, it's something that we're not too excited about in the flesh. Well, God, can't you find somebody else? Moses said, well, he went through every excuse why he didn't need to be the one to bring the people of Israel out of Egypt. And God said, no, you're the one. When something is conceived by God in us, a lot of times our flesh wants to rise up and say, oh, no, not me, Lord. No, not me, Lord. Let Brother Madison do it. He's better qualified. Or let this one or that one. Let Pastor do it. Let Pastor's wife do it. Let somebody on the board do it. Hey, I want to tell you what, God, sometimes he conceives stuff in us to take us out of the comfort zone because we've been stuck where we've been at, and God is saying it's time for you to produce some things in the Spirit. It's time for you to birth some things that will never happen unless there's a stepping out in faith. Hallelujah. It takes work and it takes sacrifice and self-denial to bring forth what God has placed within us. But first of all, there must be intimacy. There must be a closeness with God. James chapter 4 verse 8 says, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. If we will draw near to God, he will draw near to us. Oh, but Pastor, I just don't feel liberty. I don't feel a breakthrough. I just don't feel the presence of God. You keep drawing nigh to the Lord. You keep drawing near to God. When we come close to him, when we seek after him, when we make him a priority in our life, he responds to that desire of our heart to be close to him, and he will draw near to us. How do we draw near to God? Number one, we've got to have a prayer life. We've got to have a prayer life. Hallelujah. Yeah, well, Pastor, I go to church every Sunday morning, and you know I pray, and I go to the altar, and I pray with others. But what about every other day of the week? What are we filling our time with? What are we doing with our energies? Amen. I believe that today God is calling us to a lifestyle of prayer like never before, because we're going somewhere we've never been, and God's calling us to do things we've never done before, but we've got to get intimate with the Spirit of God. Praise the Lord. The Word of God. It's a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. Lord, I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. The word of God causes us to be intimate with his presence. Maybe some of us have already gotten off track on our annual Bible reading plan. Okay, it's just now it's February, and maybe we started out and then something happened, we got busy or whatever. I'm going to encourage you, get back on track. Get back on track. The boys and I, we've been doing our best to start reading through the Word of God, and so we're trying to read 10 chapters a day. 5 chapters in the morning, 5 chapters at night. If you read 10 chapters a day, you can read through the Bible in about 4 months. Okay, now, whether it's 10 chapters or 2 chapters or whatever it is, set you a goal and say, okay, I'm going to do it, and I'm just going to be, and I'm making a commitment to the Lord. I'm making it, and I'm tired, and I want to go to bed, but I haven't read my chapters today. Read it. Make a commitment to God, because what you're doing is you're becoming intimate with him. And through reading the Word of God, his voice starts to speak to you, and you start to hear things in the Spirit that you've never heard the voice of God like that before. But because you're accustomed to reading his Word, his written Word, all of a sudden you start picking up on the voice of the Spirit, and there's an intimacy that happens there. If we don't spend time with him, then we're not being intimate with him. The denial of our flesh helps us to pull back from the things of this world and to get into the Spirit. So number one, prayer life. We've got to have a prayer life. We've got to have the Word of God in our life. And then we've got to deny our flesh and seek the Lord. Less of me and more of you, God. Less of what I want and more of what your will is. There's got to be intimacy. After intimacy, there comes pregnancy. There's some things when we're intimate with the Lord, God starts putting things into our spirit. It may be something that we're not excited about because it's not exciting to our flesh, because it's taking us to another level, but God starts speaking to us, and God starts giving us a vision of what he wants to do, and there's a change, there's a shifting from what we used to want. Now it's, what God do you want for my life? And so after intimacy, then there's this pregnancy. The baby is on the way, but it's not here yet. There's a term that's used during pregnancy. She's expecting. Sometimes guys will say, well, we're expecting, you know. You know, they try to, but she's the one that's carrying the baby, you know. But spiritually, we need to be expecting. Every church service we come to, we should be expecting. Expecting a move of God. Expecting an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Every day we get up, we should be expecting a miracle. God put me in the right place at the right time to receive a miracle. I'm expecting it today, Lord. Amen. When I get on the job, I'm expecting to see somebody who needs prayer, and I'm going to pray the prayer of faith. And Lord, you're going to move, and you're going to change that situation. Every time I go to the mailbox, I'm expecting there to be an unexpected check in there that somehow God says, I'm going to give you a blessing. I'm expecting to have miracles like that. Come on, we're expecting revival. We're expecting a financial blessing. We're expecting the work of God. It's not here just yet. I can't see it right now, but I know he's working. I know he's moving. I know it's on the way. We're expecting. Oh, come on, somebody here, you need to look at those empty chairs beside you, because they're not going to be empty for long. They're empty today, but I'm expecting them to be filled. I'm expecting some family to come back to the house of God. I'm expecting new people to come in and say, this is my church, and I'm going to live for God. We're expecting. But then here's where so many of us fail. And this is why so many expectant people don't see the promise come to pass. Because there can be no birth without travail. Oh, but God promised it. He spoke it and I believe it. I'm expecting it. But what are we doing to bring it to pass? Are we just sitting around waiting for God to drop it in our lap? We can't be expecting a spiritual stork to just come along and just deliver everything God has for us without there being some travail. Oh, that would be much easier. Why doesn't God do it that way? Why doesn't he just send an angel, just deliver, here's your revival? Why doesn't God just you know, send down on a cloud? Well, here's your financial blessing. Here's the miracle we've been praying for. Well, why isn't it easy like that, Lord? Because that's not how something is birthed in the Spirit. If we want to see something birthed in the Spirit, it's going to take prayer. It's going to take sacrifice. It's going to take faith. It takes trusting in God for his timing. It takes being faithful to God in the waiting. And then when the time is right, it takes travail. It takes someone being willing to pay the price, to go through the suffering, to go through the pain, to push, to sacrifice, to see it come to pass. If you've never had that experience in prayer to where it literally felt like you were giving birth to something, because your body was tense and you were pushing in the spirit and pushing in prayer, and oh God, and there's a groaning that's there and there's an earnestness that's there because the burden is so great. If you've never had that experience, then I want to tell you today, you've not birthed what God has in store for you yet. But there needs to come a burden over every one of us. There needs to come an anointing to say, I'm going to push until something happens. I'm going to pray until something happens. I'm believing for this. I'm believing that God has, He's conceived some things in my spirit. And in order for them to come to pass, somebody's got to pay the price. Hallelujah. Somebody's got to get up early in the morning and say, early in the morning, and I'm going to rise and seek you, Lord. Somebody's got to stay up at night and say, I've got to pray until something happens. My family's not saved. I've still got miracles I'm believing God for. And somebody's got to push, and somebody's got to travail. Oh, there needs to be a burden for travail in the house. There needs to be some saints of God that say, I've not received the promise yet. I've not birthed some things that God's promised yet, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to pay the sacrifice. I'm going to do the work. I'm going to put the prayer time in. I'm going to push. Amen. I feel like one of the drawbacks of this generation is that they don't know how to travail. The elders, they knew, but look around. There's fewer and fewer elders here today. They're passing away. Somebody's got to pick up the mantle of travail. Somebody's got to pick up the mantle of travail. Oh, but it's not fun. No, it's not. It's painful. Have you ever gone through a period of travail and the next day or two or three you're like, man, my abs are hurting? And it wasn't because I did 100 sit-ups each night. Because I was laying on the floor and it wasn't comfortable and I was groaning and there was an earnestness that was there. There was a straining that was going on in the spirit because it's travail. It's travail. I want to tell you right now, this church is pregnant. This church has conceived some things that God has promised. That God has promised, and it's not premature. It's time. It's time. But there's got to be some midwives, so to speak, that say, we're going to stand in the gap and we're going to start to pray some prayers of travail and we're going to do whatever it takes, because there's going to be some pushing that has to happen in order for this to come to pass. Come on, somebody. There's a calling of God that's going forth. Young and old, men and women, children and young people, every one of us need to get behind this and say, okay, God, this is the time for revival. This is the time for a breakthrough. This is the time for the miraculous to come to pass, but I've got to do what it takes to push. Oh God. And in our world today, one of the most abhorrent things is when a new life has been created, has all the future potential and promises ahead of it, And drastic steps will be taken by man to destroy what God has created. Now, there may be even those here today or listening online who have experienced the pain and trial and struggle of those who've had an abortion. And we reach out to them in love and say, God loves you and we love you. However, abortion is sin because it aborts the plan of God. And spiritual abortion, just as much as Satan loves physical abortion, he loves spiritual abortion even more. Because there's people who, they're pregnant spiritually. There's been things of God that have been conceived in their spirit. And God's saying, this is the time. And for whatever reason, the enemy will allow sometimes wrong influences to come, relationships, different things to happen. And there's a spiritual aborting of what God wants to see happen before it can come to pass. There are people, young people, they're elders, who maybe sometimes they can even go back and point to a service and say there was something that God was doing, but I held back. I didn't surrender. I left without really praying through like I needed to. I was busy. I was hungry. I was, you know, whatever it was. But in that service or in that moment, there was something trying to be birthed. And they never got back to that place of pushing and of travail to where it could come to pass. And then it was like there was a spiritual abortion. Today, we're not going to let that happen. We're not going to let the promises that God has for this church, for this people, and for this city to be aborted by the enemy's plans. Hallelujah. Sometimes on social media is, I guess it's a blessing, but it's a curse sometimes, you know. And as a pastor, as a former youth worker and youth president working in district work, I'm connected to a lot of people that maybe they went to a youth camp somewhere, maybe they were at a youth rally and they connected with us. And so, you know, years later now, I'll see posts and I'm like, well, who is this? And I look at them and you can tell, obviously, they're not in church and they're doing the things of the world. And it's, I'm like, why am I connected to them? And sometimes I'll click on the profile picture and then I'll go back. And back, you know, 2013 or something, I see, oh, yeah, that was that young person in youth camp. Man, there was a calling of God on their life. God was working. God was moving. They were sensitive to the things of God. What happened? And you go back and you follow the pictures. And slowly you start seeing a change. And until now, they're so far from where they needed to be. And there's even people that used to go to this church. And you know, we're still connected on social media. And you see them and the things that they're doing and the people they're with and all that. And it's painful to see because here's the deal. It's you see the potential as a pastor, as a leader, as someone in the church, as someone who's spiritual. You see the potential of where God wants them to be. But then you see the road that Satan has brought them on, and now they're so far. And in their mind, they can't even imagine and can't even understand how far they are from God. But you see it because you're looking at the whole picture. And so today, young people, I want to tell you, today is the day, this is the hour to surrender to God and say, This life that I have, it's not my own, but God, I'm giving it to you. I'm surrendering it to you because, Lord, I want to produce some things spiritually that I couldn't do it on my own. But, Lord, I'm willing to let your spirit work through me and your power move through me to see the supernatural take place. Amen, amen. Some of the most miserable people in the world, as I mentioned, are women who are pregnant and overdue. And likewise, some of the most miserable Christians in the world are those who they're pregnant with a vision from God, and yet they've not been able to give birth to that vision. Oh, but there was an intimacy that happened somewhere along the way, and God spoke some things into their spirit. It wasn't just their flesh. It wasn't just their own mind, but it was the things of the spirit. And if you're here today and you know that God has spoken some things to your spirit, you don't need to let go of those things, but you need to go back to where the thing was conceived and say, Lord, I'm going to spend some time in travail because there's got to be a birthing of this. We've got to take the vision which has been supernaturally planted within us by God, and we've got to nurture it, and we've got to cause it to grow and develop. And sooner or later, there's got to be godly travail, without which there can be no birth. That travail is our intercession. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Sometimes you're praying, God, I don't even know what to pray. I know I've got trouble. I know I've got this and that, and I know these people are needing an answer, but God, I don't know what to do. We know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Intercession is like building a highway for the Lord. It's like building a highway. It's making room for God to do what he's got to do. There's a part that we have to do, and then God does the rest. But if you build the highway, then the Spirit of God can flow and the Spirit of God can move. If we will do the work first, then God will send his glory. If we'll be patient and faithful, if we'll follow the process of intimacy and pregnancy and travail and then birth, we will see the fulfillment of our heavenly dreams and visions. Come on, somebody, the vision is not dead. The dream is not dead, but there's got to be a birthing of it. There's got to be a birthing of it. And somebody needs to go back to a place of intercession. Somebody needs to build an altar. Maybe it's been a long time since you really prayed at an altar, to where you felt the tension in the spirit, where you felt the burden that was so strong. But God is looking for somebody that he can say, I'm going to use them to birth some dreams and to birth some miracles and to see the supernatural take place. Amen. Would you stand with me today? We don't have to have any music. It's been a different service. I've been all over the place. I don't even know if I've, the notes here I had, if I would go back and preach some of this, it might be totally different because my mind's all over the place right now. Intimacy, pregnancy, travail, and then birth. Even at the moment of birth, the enemy stands there to try to steal what God has promised. This is a horrible and tragic thing. But for those of you that understand partial birth abortion, why would you even bring that up, something like that, Pastor, in preaching in the house of God? Because as horrible and gruesome and cruel as that is, what the enemy's wanting to do to steal spiritually in your life, it's the same thing. It's ready to be birthed. And he wants to destroy it right at the moment of promise. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Do you think that the enemy of your soul is just going to step back and you're going to be able to birth these supernatural things without a fight? Sometimes we're interceding not even for ourselves, but for somebody else. You think about that. You know, maybe you've heard stories of there being a war going on. Well, the process of time happens, and in 9 months, a mother's going to give birth, and the war's going on, and bombs are falling, but here's a mother, and it's time. Now, that mother can't go fight the battle. The mother has to focus on giving birth. Sometimes you've got a brother or you've got a sister that they're going through a season, and the moment is time, and they're pushing, and they're travailing. And you need to come alongside them and say, you know what? I'm going to fight some of this battle for you. Amen. I want to tell you, that woman right there, she's interceding more than you ever know and carrying some burdens. But there ought to be some rest of us that say, you know what, Sister McCoy, I'm going to cover you with prayer, because as we're going through this, we're going to make sure the enemy's not going to destroy what's trying to be birthed. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. And I'm the pastor, but I plead for you to pray for your pastor. Lord, let there be a covering around him. Let there be a protection around him. Lord, protect his family. Protect his health. Because I don't want to get distracted from the thing that's of utmost importance, and that is building a highway for the glory of God to flow and the Spirit of God to move in this city. Come on, somebody. It's time for some spiritual things to be birthed. But we've got to catch this burden, and we've got to catch this vision for revival, and say, I'll pay the price, and I'll travail, and I'll do whatever it takes.